Greetings, it's Terry at Cottage in the Court. Well, it's December in the first week, we'll say. And I hope that you did not rush out and buy a fresh cut Christmas tree unless you're planning on keeping your heating down. One thing you want to remember is this time of year, you have to select the right tree at the right time in order to have a safe and fabulous Christmas. The only person that I could think of that would help guide us on tree selection, timing, and more is Mrs. Know-It-All. I spoke with her recently. Allow me to share. Hi, Mrs. Know-It-All. How are you?
Hi, Terry. Good. Getting ready for the holidays?
Well, trying. I'd normally get a small tree, but this year, the prices of trees is out of this world. For those that are buying trees, what tips do you have?
Well, you know, there's different types of trees that you'll find in the tree lots. And to a point, it depends on your taste. It also depends on how you plan to decorate it as well. Mm-hmm. Now, a Douglas fir is a popular tree, and it's a long, medium to long needled tree with dark green needles. They're mm-hmm. kind of thick, and it's really good for holding the needles indoors. Mm-hmm. And the branches are very strong, but they're also very open. But it's a good tree. Fraser firs are also one of the most popular trees. Now, they're a short-needled tree, and the branching's very stiff and upright is the best way to describe it. And one of the things that I really like about Fraser firs is they have a silver line, if you will, on the underside of the needle. So you kind of get a two-tone tree, and it's very attractive. It holds the ornaments well. Now, sometimes it's confused with a balsam fir. You don't often see balsam firs actually in a tree lot because they're a little bit slow growing. Mm-hmm. So they're more costly to produce.
Okay.
Now, and it has the same characteristics as a Fraser fir. It's just not often seen. Mm-hmm. There's a concolor fir, and I love this tree. It has blue needles, and I've always described the needles as being like plastic because they're kind of stiff, but they bend and they don't really prick your hands as you're putting on ornaments. Mm-hmm. If you grow it at home, it is a large tree, so mm-hmm. you need to have adequate space for it. And it'll hold its needles a long time if you keep it watered. Then there are the spruces. There's the blue spruce, which is sometimes confused with the concolor fir. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that very often in a tree lot. And if you've ever had one and you stick your hands into the tree to either put lights on or ornaments, you get pricked.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not a fan, but it will hold its needles only for a short time. Mm-hmm. Now, Norway spruces are also sold. And it's pretty much the same, and the white spruce, very much the same as a blue spruce. However, with these spruces, they have a fragrance akin to a used litter box. Spruces tend to smell like used litter or cat pee, mm-hmm. for those who have never had a cat. So I don't really like to recommend them. And, you know, like maybe if you have this tree out on a sun porch and it's not in your home per se, mm-hmm. it would be okay. And then there's white pines, which are very popular in tree lots, tree farms where they actually grow them. They actually shear them every year to kind of give them that tight look that you see because pines are normally very open.
Yeah.
Now, with that, you know, the branches are very soft. And so if you have a heavy ornaments, it's going to kind of open up the tree and they'll hang lower maybe than you want them to. Mm-hmm. But it has a wonderful fragrance. What I like to suggest is using white pine use a swag or a wreath or in arrangements, mm-hmm. you know, for that pine scent, you know. But on the other hand, if you're wedded to a white pine, go for it. Just don't hang any heavy ornaments on it. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Scotch pine. And it's a very traditional Christmas tea. You don't always see it like you used to when we were younger, but it's good. But the branches are stiffer, so mm-hmm. it will hold those long dangling ornaments better.
Without bouncing? Now,
pardon me?
Without bouncing?
Without bouncing. Mm-hmm. Now, God bless my Aunt Margie, rest her soul. She had a method. She had beautiful Christmas trees. Now, I was a child and a young adult, and I don't really remember what trees she would get, but they would get a live tree every year. She would bring it home. She would put it on the back porch. She'd get the hose out, and she would hose off the tree to get any dead leaves, you know, mud, anything, because when you cut your own, and actually even when they cut them in these tree lots, you know, they get dragged through the mud. They're not the cleanest tree. And she would hose it off, let it shake off, and then they would bring it into the house and cut a couple inches off at the bottom, and then promptly put it in a Christmas tree stand with, there's preservatives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that works really well. And so, you know, that's a great way. And the other thing is, if there's any little bugs or any little hitchhikers in there that you don't necessarily want to bring into the house, mm-hmm. that's a good way to do it. Now, there's a product called Wilt Proof.
Yeah.
And you can spray it on there, and it's an anti-transpirant, mm-hmm. and it actually helps the tree to hold moisture in the needle, so it will last a lot longer. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things with Christmas trees is they have resin in them, which can be flammable no matter which type of tree you have. Mm-hmm. So I recommend using LED lights rather than the old-fashioned lights that we grew up with. They're hot, and a lot of people have a bad habit of like lighting the tree and leaving the house. My mm-hmm. trees are never on. I've had a fire, not at home but at work, and it leaves you a little scarred. Right. And so I don't leave it on. Everything is unplugged at that mm-hmm. point. So I like the LEDs, and you will find a lot of these new artificial trees mm-hmm. have LED lights on them as well, and they last forever. They don't give off heat. They're extremely energy efficient.
Mm.
Now, what I don't like about the artificial trees that mm-hmm. you're buying now is they're pre-lit.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to decorate our courthouse with a 10-foot tree that we wired, but we had smaller trees for some of the executive offices, mm-hmm. and they were pre-lit. Well, the problem is some of those pre-lit ones, something goes wrong and you have to take the lights off. And they are actually either wired onto the branches or they have these special clips, and they are miserable to get off. Right. So I actually prefer a tree that is not pre-lit, and I wire my own trees. I have a 9.5-foot tree. I actually have several trees, but my big one is a 9.5. I have 5 trees. I have a 9.5-foot, and it comes in sections. And so I have wired LED lights on them. I'm one of those crazy people, like thousands of lights on their trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes apart, I make sure that each section has its own set of lights. And then we kind of put a little piece of ribbon on to know where the connection is for the following year. Oh. Then what we do actually is we take some bungee cords or mm-hmm. stretchy cords
mm-hmm.
and we lift up the branches and put them together so that holds it together. And then I actually take that shrink wrap. You can get the homeowner's version, like they wrap pallets.
Yeah.
You can actually get a smaller thing and use it and wrap that up, so that actually protects the tree a little bit more. And then it goes down into the garage for 10 months.
Right.
You know, now my trees are all up and decorated. I'm done doing that because I'm a crazy Christmas person.
Well, question, of the live trees that you mentioned, which of those do you think is best to only buy as a bald and burlap tree?
Again, it's going to depend on your space.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go for a Fraser fir if you were buying a bald and burlap. Now, the thing is, if you're buying a bald and burlap tree, that's your goal, is to have a Alden burlap tree to plant after the holidays, you should be out there digging that hole right now.
That's right.
And then what you do is you take all that soil and put it in a bucket or some sort of container and put it in your garage and unheated porch, someplace out of the weather and where it won't freeze.
Right.
And then wherever you dug your hole, take a piece of plastic, put some cinder blocks on it. You don't want anybody walking through, breaking their leg, suing you. You also don't want to find a dead animal there or a suffering animal as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the one thing. Also, buy a tree that you can handle. Because if you buy, and a good example is, and he is an extension agent manager, and he bought a 10-foot Alden burlap tree here. And it took like four people to get it into his house. He said, I will never do that again. Now, he had 2 acres, so he had plenty of room for the thing. The problem was getting it into the house. The other issue with a Alden burlap tree is you really need to keep it well watered before you bring it into the house. Only bring it in a couple of days before the Christmas and get it out right afterwards. And you want to keep any live tree in a cool room. You don't want a lot of heat in there. So if you have, you know, your vents in there, shut those vents off because that helps prolong the life of the tree.
Ideally, how long would you keep a live tree indoors?
A cut live tree or a Alden burlap tree?
Either one.
A cut tree you could probably keep in 2 weeks if you keep it healthy and watered. A Alden burlap, I would say no longer a week because you really need to get that tree back outside.
Right.
And using that preservative for the things, I like to cover that. What you can very easily do is, you know, when you cut your tree, and make sure you keep that tree watered because the first couple of days they're going to suck up a ton of water.
Yes. So yes.
The bigger container is better, but you want to cover it. Keep it covered or keep it blocked off that your pets can't get there. Now, I know people that they're too cheap is the nicest way to put it. That they go, oh, I use aspirin and bleach. Well, that can kill some of your animals.
Right.
So why do that? You know, so it's very easy, you know, to, you know, wrap up, you know, some attractive fabric that you can easily undo, you know, pour some water in and then take it out. And then you don't have to, you know, worry about it, but using bleach and aspirin, and you know how I feel about homemade remedies.
I know. And they have so many things available now for the safety of the home, including your beloved pets. So it's worth it to investigate those things and try them. So if you had a swag with some of the evergreen clippings, how would you keep that fresh?
Well, depending on how you are using it. Now you can get some floral picks that actually you can put some water in. They're kind of little green test tube like things, and you can put them in there and then put them in an arrangement if you want. If you're going to use holly, I would recommend spraying it with wilt proof.
Yeah.
And making sure there's no berries on it. You could put something else right in there because the berries are poisonous to pets.
Right.
And what you can simply do is add that at the very last minute because holly really doesn't keep very well in an arrangement. So.
And it hurts.
Pardon me?
And it hurts.
Yeah, it does hurt. And then for a swag and everything, very easily, you know, if you can take it outside every other day or so and mist it with some water, or again, the Aunt Margie method of taking a hose and hitting it with some water and just letting it drip dry and then, you know, putting it back in the house. You can do the same with a wreath. I know a lot of people like boxwood, and I like the look of boxwood. I can't stand the smell. And that's kind of like people with cilantro too. Either love the smell or you don't like the smell. I don't like the smell of boxwood. I love the look of it. I don't like the smell of it.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as you're buying a wreath also. And any of these arrangements. You want to kind of keep it away from where you'll be serving food. One, you don't want the fragrance to kind of interfere with, you know, your turkey. You know, there's something about evergreens and turkey that doesn't quite make it.
Plus, sometimes they're a little leftover. I like to call them guests. They might wander out. Yeah. So those live arrangements, maybe not so much around food.
No.
No, no.
And then, of course, your pets, especially if you have cats, they're going, oh, there's a toy for me. Let me chase it. And,
exactly.
And all hell breaks loose.
And that's never a good idea. No. So if you had to get a live tree and you wanted to keep it indoors longer, any tips other than keeping it away from the heat vents?
Well, keep it away from the heat vents. Keep it watered. That's critical. Never let it dry out, because otherwise you're going to have to take it out, make another cut so it can uptake the water. And if you've already got it decorated, that's not something you want to do.
No.
If you can maybe mist it, I would definitely use the Wiltproof on it, and I would use the preservative in it as well.
Now, you would just spray the Wiltproof on it, on the tree, not put it in the water?
No, it is designed to be sprayed on the tree. Okay. It also helps other plants outside that might get windburn, like rhododendrons or azaleas. It works very well for that, you know, especially if you're in a windy spot. And then, you know, you can decorate the tree however you want. I got to tell you, now I have what I call my garden tree. And so it has a bunch of garden related ornaments, but it also has food ornaments on it because, you know, I'm a foodie and I bake and I can and everything else. So it's kind of tied in there. And I have people who, I have a big Christmas party every year and people bring me some ornaments kind of tied into things they know. So I, you know, they go on the tree too. I actually need a bigger tree. And I have a silver tree, and that's more for the techie stuff. And so we have a bunch of trains on them, Star Trek ornaments. This is kind of my husband's tree. And so it kind of has all those items on there. And then, you know, the Hallmark ones that have like the little train that comes out of the mountain and everything. My grandson adores that. And then I have two cat trees and a wreath. Now, they are what we call wall trees. And so they're just flat and they hang on the wall. And they're decorated with cat ornaments. And, you know, because I have cats, I love cats and I love dogs. So please don't anybody. It's just, I don't have to walk a cat is what it comes down to. And there's pictures of cats that are no longer with us, including my beloved Bella. And, but I even have like their little rabies tag hanging there. I have some cat pins on there. I have the Cheshire cat on there. I have all kind of wild cat ornaments on these trees. And then my big tree, the 9.5 foot one, is everything. I collect, unfortunately for me, Christopher Radko ornaments, which is not a cheap hobby. I have Swarovski crystals on there that, you know, the stars and the snowflakes. But I also have, my mother made some ornaments with pictures of like her and her mother, of me when I was a baby, of Reagan, my daughter, for those of you who don't know, when she was a baby. There's pictures of my grandson Nathan hanging on some ornaments. I have the ornaments that Nathan has made me at preschool. I have the ornaments that Reagan made in school. And, you know, so it's clothespins with a couple little eyes on it and upside down, and it's a reindeer.
Right.
And so I, you know, it's not, it's a family tree. It is a memory tree, you know, and I have ornaments. I have a couple of ornaments from when I was a child that go on the tree, you know, because, you know, that childhood's long gone. And so I have, what can I say? You know, But I put on what I love and I collect what I like, you know? So the one thing I put on is there's always rabbits on my tree. And one of the reasons is the legends say that rabbits are one of the most precious animals in God's eyes because they're so gentle. I know people hate them because they eat their marigolds or whatever, you know, but rabbits are not aggressive.
That's right.
They've never, you know, they don't come and, you know, bite your dog or anything like that.
Right.
I raised rabbits when I was young. I had Whitey and I had Pinky. They were albino white rabbits.
Oh.
We also had a Belgian hare named Bugsy that actually kicked a cat out of the yard, literally sent him sailing over a hedge.
There went that theory about them being gentle.
Well, he was defending the babies. The cat was trying to run off with the babies.
Oh.
And Belgian hares are about 15 pounds. They're not a small rabbit.
Oh, okay. That makes a difference.
He was defending his progeny. But they're gentle creatures. And I start off with maybe four in the spring in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the summer, I only see one. And I had one who actually was living in my flower bed last year. Mm-hmm. He never ate any of my flowers. He'd get out in the night and go eat the clover in the lawn. It's like, works for me.
Yeah. I don't mind rabbits in my garden. I've not had any bad experiences with them. So rabbits are my friends. I like them.
On the other hand, I don't have a groundhog on my tree.
Let's not talk about groundhogs. That's true. So when you were talking about the flat trees, for those that are in smaller spaces, condos, apartments,
it's ideal.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Is yours made of wood or?
No, they're actually a fake tree, you know, with the evergreen and everything. It's just, they're flat. There's a wire frame.
Yeah.
And I have hooks in the wall, actually, because my one wall tree is so heavy because it has so many ornaments, and actually it's 4 foot. So it's in my bathroom. and well, you know what? There's all kind of stuff in there. I decorate wherever I can.
Yeah.
And so there's a hook that I have for a mirror, and I've added one of those command strips on the other side so it balances out the weight to hold it, because the screw in the wall is not coming out anytime soon.
Okay.
And so I have that. But there are smaller wall trees. And, you know, you can look after Christmas. You can look on Amazon. I got mine at a local, well, the one I got at a craft store and the other one I got at a local garden center. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I decorate them. Now, I put a little battery pack operated lights on the one and the other one doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I have this one ornament and it was my mother's pendant. And I mean, this is from like back in the 50s, early 60s, and parts of it kind of move, like the eyes move and everything. It's a lion. And it kind of reminds you of the original Cheetos lion.
Oh.
You know, so he always hangs right on the bottom of the tree. You know, so he's always visible.
See, memories. Christmas brings such memories, not only of trees, but of good times, of, you know, Christmas when we were much younger, Christmas for our grandchildren, as well as our children. It's just such a happy time of year. Even if you don't really celebrate Christmas, just the beauty that the lights bring are always just such a delight. So hopefully this weekend is close enough to Christmas for people to buy those trees, cut or live. Because if they buy them this weekend and decorate them, they should still be fresh for Christmas, right?
Yeah, I have to tell you, a lot of tree lots harvest those trees in October.
I know. That's why I've never bought them early.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter because they're usually the ones that are in the tree lots, because it takes them a while to get them from the tree farms to the tree lots. Now, some of the local garden centers may have a tree farm on their property and they're able to harvest them then. Or if you are one of those brave souls that goes out with a chainsaw and like, oh, let's go, you know, harvest this tree, and God bless you. Those trees are a whole lot fresher. But you drag them through the mud, or they come and get them and they put them through the machine where it wraps it all up and you take it home. Yeah. One thing we heard from AAA is, please, if you are doing that, please secure it firmly to your car, because no one wants to see a Christmas tree shooting off the back of your car into theirs.
That's right. That can be a major nasty accident.
And they said actually that happens quite often.
Yeah. So, well, I'm glad when the girls were little, we did take them to cut our own tree a couple of years. Thank God they've grown. It was fun though. The first couple of years, it was fun. So, well, thank you for sharing your tips on what we need to know, Christmas tree do's and don'ts. And hopefully for those people that are going to get their trees this weekend, choose fresh, try to buy local, and just make it an experience to remember.
And thank try Aunt Margie's washing of the tree.
Yeah, wash your tree like Aunt Margie.
She always had a great tree.
Thank you, Mrs. Know-It-All. And we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you before Christmas, because now we're going to need to know, what do you do with the tree after the holidays?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things you can do with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that next time. In the meantime, have a great time at your cookie parties and all your cooking that you'll be doing.
I have a cookie exchange on Sunday. So I've got cookies to make, and I'm debating, should I make chocolate chip, or should I make pizzelles, or my Clark Bar cookies?
Oh, so you didn't have to say that. Clark Bar cookies, really?
Well, you know, Clark Bars are actually from Pittsburgh originally. That's a Pittsburgh cookie or candy.
Okay, just send me the recipe. Just send it on.
You know what? I'll send it to you, and you can actually post it. I can actually do it from memory because it's so easy. And it's no bake.
Yeah, definitely send that one. That one could be right up my alley. Have a great evening.
You too, Terry.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, it's always wonderful to catch up with Mrs. Know-It-All. She's always there, just when you need her. I hope we caught you in time before you went out and purchased that Christmas tree. One thing I might mention, if you are an owner of an urban garden and you just have to have that bald and burlap tree, well, make sure that you dig that hole now. And also make sure that you check out all of the characteristics of that tree that you just fell in love with. Trust me, there's nothing worse than choosing the prettiest tree, only to dread that tree 5 years from now. The other day, I saw a lone snowflake. I really wanted snow for my birthday, more than one flake, but you know, I'll take what I can get. It's been one of those years. I wanted to end today's segment with a poem by Robert Frost, entitled Dust of Snow. The way a crow shook down on me, the dust of snow from a hemlock tree, has given my heart a change of mood and saved some part of a day I had rued. That's perfect for a day like today. Hey, it's going to be a warm weekend. You can still plant bulbs. The ground is not frozen. You can still rake leaves. If you have an oak tree like I do, you'll be raking leaves from now to the end of January. So don't overdo it. And if you're looking for the perfect gift to pre-order for someone, Kathy Gents and I wrote a book called The Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. It is available for pre-order on Amazon and other independent book sites. Why not support local? It's a great thing to do. I do all the time. I want to say thank you for continuing to follow me, for those that checked on me in my absence. Writing 2 books and working full time is more than a notion, but we're getting there. And I have to say, it has been a year of unexpected events and a year of learning. And I can't wait for 2022. I've got some exciting adventures planned, and some of them I hope that you'll go along with me. Some of them will be small group expeditions, and others will be tag-alongs. Wait and see. In the meantime, get that tree up, whether it's real, whether it's bald and burlapped, whether it's artificial, with or without lights. Choose a tree that speaks to you and enjoy the holiday season.